Romans 8:30, the calling. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And those he predestined, he also called. This word called is the next link in the golden chain of salvation, in which God reaches down from glory, from eternity past, to save sinful men and women. Our text could be read, whom he predestined, them he also called to believe. Or those whom he predestinated, them he also called to the exercise of faith, or called to faith. Once more, the emphasis is upon God. It is God who calls. It is God who foreknew, who justifies, who glorifies, who predestinates, who calls. It is, once again, God who is the object here. It is not our faith that justifies us. We are not saved because we believe. Otherwise, it would be our action. Faith is but the instrument that God uses in pronouncing our justification. But it is something that he himself brings into being. Faith. It's not rising up from us. It's a gift from Almighty God. But the crucial question is, what brings us then to belief? Those whom God calls not only hear his call, but actually respond to it by turning around, repenting of their sin, and believing in Christ unto salvation, committing their lives to him. Let me first say that there is two different calls. There's an outward call, a general call, an ineffective call, and there is a specific call, an internal call, and a regenerating call. One is an open invitation to all persons to repent of their sin and to turn to Jesus. Turn to Matthew 11:28. We're looking now first at the general call. Matthew 11:28. This is universal. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Open invitation to all persons to repent of their sin and to turn to Jesus. Come, all you that are burdened, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Turn to Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If anyone desires to come after me. Universal, general, open invitation. Turn to John 7:31. 7:37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. This call is universal. It is for everyone. Whosoever will may come. Anyone who wishes can come to Jesus and be saved. The difficulty with this external, universal, and ineffectual call is that people left to themselves never actually respond positively to it. The God who issues the invitation is undesirable to them. And so they turn away. Jesus taught about this in Luke 14. Turn to Luke 14. Their will is bent another way. Luke 14:15-24. The parable of the Great Supper. Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said to him, a certain man gave the great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Still another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highway and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. See, you have the general call and the effectual call. Those that were brought in, those that were compelled to come in, that was the effectual call. The other was the general call. And everybody, their natural bend of their will was for themselves. It was not towards God. Do you see the way that people responded to this general call? They did not accept. They rejected the invitation. Their desire was their own way. Why was their desire their own way? Turn to John 3:19. They didn't turn because 3:19 says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This is why man does not come, because they love the darkness. You did not come at first because you loved the darkness. You loved your sin. This is why you did not come. Many are called, but few are chosen. At that particular point in time, you had not been regenerated when you first heard the word. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2:14. This is why the general call is ineffective. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritual discerned. The natural man does not receive, he cannot receive, because they are spiritual discerned. He's dead. He is not able in and of himself, before he's called, before he's regenerated, to understand spiritual things. What does it say in Romans 8, verse 7? The carnal mind, while you're over there, flip over real quick. Let me show you. Romans 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity, it's an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. The carnal mind is not able, nor indeed can be. It's an enemy of God. This is why John tells us over in 6:44, when Jesus spoke to the crowd, and he told them in 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Unless the Father draws, there is no effectual calling. It's just a general calling. That's why Paul tells us in Romans 3:10 that there's none good. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way. That is why people do not respond at the general calling. This is why there needs to be another call in our text where it says, those he foreknew, remember I said, that's the ones he set his love on. He predestined. What did he predestine them to? A purpose. Those are the ones, then it says, he called. And he called them effectually. That's why we see in Romans 8:30 that word called. This call is internal, it's specific, and it's effective. And it comes with power. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. See, all these manipulations with people today, it doesn't come with no power. They try to manipulate people's wills and emotions and everything like that. But there's no power there because it's not the effective call from Almighty God. It's not God speaking life into that person. It's all man-centered, all amusements, dumbed down, and everything. It has to be 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Of the dunamis, of the Holy Spirit blowing through an old dead heart, an old stony heart, with power, not knowing where it comes from, blowing through. That's what he's talking about. Verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but what? In the power of God. See, in the dunamis of God, in the dynamite of God. That's where your faith should be. Not in, well, somebody raised their hand. There's no power there. It's in the power of God. When God calls that person forth, he comes forth with power. The power's in the call. Look at 1 Thessalonians. That's why you don't see no changed lives, because the power of God has not taken that person over. They've been manipulated by the slick talk of some human man, human wisdom. But the power's not there. That's why you don't see no change in the person's life. When the dunamis comes from God Almighty, there's a changed life. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only. It wasn't a bunch of words only, but also in power. The dunamis accompanied this call. See, it changed lives. It absolutely grabbed you by your neck, lifted you up, shook you around, changed you inside out, over and out, left and right, up and down. Your life is never the same. When that call comes, that's the power of God. When you see all these lives that are the same, ain't no dunamis there. That's one man slick talking another man. That's all you got. You better have the dunamis there. The power better be behind it. It is the effectual. It is effectual, that call. And all those who are called by this call, they're the ones that have been regenerated. Those are the ones that have been born anew. That's the call that saves those to whom it is spoken to. Not because of dim down the lights, turn up the music, here's a little card, sign on a dotted line. Ain't no power there. That ain't changing nobody's life. But when the Holy Spirit comes, then it's a changed life. Let's look at some examples. While you're in 1 Corinthians, while you were in 1 Corinthians, go back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. Who called you? Those are the ones that are regenerated, that God called. Not the ones that man called, that God called. And the ones that God called, what takes place is Romans 11:29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That person's life is going to change, because God's gift and calling on that person's life is not going to change. They're going to change. The calling is not going to change. Turn to 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 and 9. That's why you see the wreckage that you see there. The dunamis is not there. The power is not there. Verses 8 and 9, Timothy 1. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God. You see, once again, the power of God is in the gospel, is in the calling. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us. See, this is the call that's in our text. And called us with what? A holy calling. Those that are called are going to live in a holy way. See, because the power of God, the dunamis of God, is going to be in that person. They're going to change. Not according to our works. It's not your works, but according to His own purpose. And as we studied previously, His purpose is to conform you to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And grace was given to us in Christ when? Before time began. Those He foreknew, He set His love upon, His special love upon, His divine favor upon. Those He predestinated for a purpose. And those ones that He has predestinated for a purpose, He is going to call you. And when He calls you, it's a calling with power. The same power that Christ said, Lazarus, come on out, boy. That's the same call. This call unites us to Christ. Brings us into fellowship with Him. The Holy Spirit operates upon our souls and puts in a new principle of life. You that cursed, you no longer curse. You that stole, you no longer steal. You who lied, you no longer lie. He puts a new principle in life of this body of death. A new disposition. He changes us from being natural to being spiritual, to being supernatural. Those are the ones that have been called. And He sets before us a holy life in which we will be sure to walk. You will be sure to walk in that holy life. Not after the traditions of men. But you will walk in a holy life according to this Bible, what this says. Those men that have been called by other men, They've been called into the traditions of men. Those that have been called by God, by the power of God, they follow the Bible. They don't follow the traditions of men. And all of a sudden now, God becomes wonderful. And because we now see what He is and who He is, and He turns our will, all of a sudden we desire it now. Where at one time our mind was at enmity with God, we was at war with God, now we desire God because we've been called with power. Putting the call into the context of Romans 8, it is the point at which the eternal foreknowledge and predestination that we talked about in the last two messages, okay, in the context, we're back to Romans 8, in 8:30, we see whom God foreknew and predestinated. Now this way called is when it passes over into time. How we talked about time in a previous message, called is when we see it. See, foreknowledge and predestination was only God seeing it. Called is when it passes over into time. Even though it saves you, even though it says you were saved before the foundation of the world, now it's coming into time. Now we can look at it. Now we can understand it. See, that's what I'm saying about it coming with power. Now you're seeing the changed life. It's coming over into time. And it starts the process by which the individual is drawn from sin to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the calling is. You're justified through that faith and we're then kept in Christ until our final glorification. Effectual calling is the central and the key link in this great golden chain of five. Remember, foreknowledge, predestination, the first two links. Now we have the calling. This is the middle link. This is the key link. And then we have justification and glorification. After looking at the external outward call, which we did, and the internal inward call, we need to ask why it is that the internal call is so effective. Why is that outward call not effective? And the inward, the internal call, why is that so effective? Why does it bring those who hear it to salvation? The reason the effective call is effective is because it's God's call. That's why it's effective. It's God who calls, not man who calls. Man who calls is what you see today. What happened to that guy? What happened to that girl? That was a man called them. God never called them. It comes forth from God's mouth. This is what Isaiah 55 is talking about. Turn to Isaiah 55. It's basically the same thing as you have in Genesis. And God said, Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. He is the I in that text, not us, He, that He has sent it. You see, it accomplishes its purpose. Matt Delaney, come forward. And you came forward because it was an effective call from Almighty God. That's what. Matt, whoever that you might have known that you don't see in Christ is because he never was in Christ. He was called by a man. But God Almighty said, you come forward. Just like he called forth the light, called forth Lazarus, because it says that his purpose is accomplished. When God says something, it happens. That's what Christ was saying in John 44. Unless the Father draws. Well, what's the insinuation there? If he doesn't draw, you're not coming. Well, the verse don't make no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. Unless the Father draws you, you will not come. Well, what's the flip side? If he doesn't draw you, you're not coming. You see how he is sovereign in salvation? He is sovereign over the call. Acts 13:48. This is the call. This is the effectual call. Acts 13:48. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to to eternal life believed. As my one brother said to me tonight, my wife had an appointment. Well, that's why she's at the appointment and I'm not. Because she was appointed. So as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. You see the sovereignty of God in salvation? Those appointed. That's a select group of people. Those appointed. What's the flip side? Those not appointed do not believe. They do not come to eternal life. You see why you should be so thankful to God Almighty? He appointed you to eternal life. And we're not grateful to God? He appointed, and as many as have been appointed to eternal life believed. He could have passed you by. Instead of foreknowing you, instead of setting his special love upon you, predestinating you to be as Jesus Christ someday, he appointed you to that. Should that not cause you to rejoice? Look at Acts 16:14. This is why this calling is effectual. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. All you hear today out of the pulpit is open your heart. The Lord opened the heart. He opens the heart or it stays closed. You can't open that old stony heart. First of all, you don't want it. And secondly, you're dead. You have no desire to open it. While we're over in Acts, look at Acts 11:15-18. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? He gave them, being the Gentiles, as he gave us. Here was the Jews saying, I can't believe it. These dogs are getting saved. That's the way they looked at Gentiles. I hate to tell you, this is mostly all Gentiles here. You were a dog to a Jew. You were getting the scraps off the table, maybe. And they glorified God, verse 18. And when they heard these things, they became silent. This doctrine shuts your mouth. You cannot boast. And when they heard these things, they became silent. And they glorified God. See, this doctrine, you are forced to glorify God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. He has to grant repentance to life. If he does not grant repentance to life, you do not repent. He grants it. Turn to Matthew 4. And he's telling you why. It's to glorify God. Oh, this is about the glory of God. All of life is about the glory of God. Everything is to the glory of God. Matthew 4:19-20. Show your effectual call. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you. You see, the I will? And said, I will worship, I will bow down, I will love, I will say my prayers, I will. Here's Christ saying, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Verse 20. Then they immediately left their nets and followed him. See, that's the effectual call. Immediately. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. This is the effectual call. They're the call. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 12. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. God freely gave you the Holy Spirit, freely made you alive, freely effectually called you. we need to ask exactly how the effective call of God works in the achieving of this goal. How is this effectual call carried out? The chief thing the effective call of God in salvation does is this. It causes the regeneration or rebirth. That's what the calling does. It regenerates you. You are born anew. You're born from above. Robert Haldane has said, the favor of God in the heart is communicated in this calling. And the sinner becomes a new creature. The favor of God, the grace of God, in your heart, He has communicated to you. And you become a new creature. Regeneration is not a work which is accomplished gradually. It's not a process. It is effective instantaneously at one moment in time. At first, indeed, faith is often weak, just like a child. But as the newborn infant is as much in possession of life as the full-grown man, she possesses new life as much as her father that sits next to her, even though she's smaller. Same the faith of the newborn person. But they're regenerated. So the spiritual life is possessed as completely in the moment of regeneration. That's why today is the day of salvation. The day you're saved, that's it. You're not no more saved a trillion years from now to the 57th power as that day. Previous to that life, there had been no existence. There was deadness there. You were dead in your sin and trespasses. There's no medium between life and death. There's no this island of righteousness tucked away somewhere inside you. There's no this happy medium, this little island of righteousness tucked away somewhere. You are either in Christ or out of Christ. God has either begun a good work in you, or He is in a state of spiritual death and corruption. You're in one or the other. God either began that new work, or you're in spiritual death. And how does He do it? By means of the Word, accompanied by His Spirit. God enlightens the understanding with a heavenly light. All of a sudden, you start understanding these truths. That this book at one time was nonsense to you. Why do you understand it now? I remember being in a hotel one time and picking up a Bible when I was dead in my trespasses and sin. And it didn't make absolutely no sense to me at all. It was absolute foolishness to me. So what happens in regeneration, God moves the will and the affections to receive and embrace Christ. He turns the will of the person. He gives you a new desire. That's what happens in regeneration in the calling. He turns your will, moves the will and the affections to receive and embrace Christ, and forms in the heart His image and the new man, of which the apostle says that it is created in righteousness and true holiness. All who are elected are in due time effectually called. Okay? In due time. In time we now see in the calling. Those He foreknew, those He predestinated. All who are effectually called have been from all eternity elected and ordained to eternal salvation. God calls the individual with a specific and effective call, and the call itself produces new spiritual life. This is why Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice." That's why He said that. Because those that have been called, they're regenerated, they hear His voice then. The best illustration of this is, as I said, turn to John 11. Verses 43 and 44. Now when He had said these things, He cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" Effectually called. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Loose him and let him go." See the illustration for the spiritual life. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. Jesus Christ called you forth. Lorraine, come forth. You came forth. And you came forth with the grave clothes. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." And that's your sanctification. One piece of grave cloth after the next, after the next, after the next. Constantly taking that mummy clothes off you. He says, loose him. Let him go. His sheep hear his voice. Lazarus came forth. That is what happens when God calls to salvation. Not, Joe, can you dim down those lights over there, buddy? Let's get a little tricky with somebody here right now. And then as soon as the lights come on, the guy's gone. He ain't even there. What happened to him? He ran out the door. That's the general call of man. The effectual call of man, your life is never the same. And the proof that spiritual life is there is that we respond to him. That's the proof. How do we respond? We respond by turning from sin. That's how we respond. Repentance and believing in Christ. You begin a lifelong process of repenting of your sin. Day after day after day after day after day. You repent. Those are the ones that have been called. The call of God produces life in the sinner. Just as the word of God brought the heavens and the earth into existence. Let there be light. And there was light. Come forth. And you came forth. The grave closed. Loose them. Let them go. All those things, have they not taken place in your life? Is there anyone here who has not taken place? That's the calling. The calling of God produces life in the sinner. The evidence of new life is repentance from sin and faith in Christ. And even that is a gift. Turn to Acts 5. Unless you want to hold on to that one thing. I know that a lot of people love holding on to that one scrap. Can't let you have it. Acts 5:31. Can't do it. Got to rip it from you. Now let's look at verse 30 and 31. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be the Prince and the Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. He gives it. Gives it. It's a gift. Look at 11:18 of Acts. When they heard these things, they became silent. They glorified God, saying, then God also granted. Even the repentance is a gift. Faith is a gift. Turn to Philippians 1:29. It's all a gift from Almighty God. From beginning to end. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. It's been granted to you on behalf of Christ to believe. You believe because it's been granted to you on behalf of Jesus Christ. That's why you believe. You then pull up your bootstraps and believe. 2 Timothy 2. It's all of God, so God gets all the glory. Man gets no glory. 2 Timothy 2, verses 25 and 26. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do their will. If God perhaps will grant them repentance. God must grant repentance. Everything is about God. In the beginning, God. And in the end, God. And everything in between. The calling of God comes before the fruit of that calling. Before the fruit. The calling comes before the fruit. It is only after God calls and regenerates that one repents of sin and believes the gospel. He calls you, therefore you repent of your sin and you believe because he calls you. That's why. He granted repentance, granted faith. So therefore, the calling goes out, the gift coming along with the calling, and there's the fruit thereof. You repent of your sin and you believe the gospel. Which comes first? Faith or life? Life. Otherwise, salvation would depend on ourselves and our own ability. See, life, the new life, must come first from God. Or else you could boast. And as a result, there would not be an effectual call. There would be no certainty of salvation. And that's the problem with all of these altar calls and everything. That's why there's no certainty there. Because it's the calling of man as opposed to the calling of God. Dr. Boyce makes a few important qualifications and observations regarding our study today. Two responses. The trouble with the general call is that men and women do not naturally respond to it. The general call. You're telling people for 20 years, going, I wonder why they won't get saved. they do not naturally respond to it. They're not responding to it because they love their sin. They love the darkness. The light comes. You're the light. You come. You tell them. But they love the darkness. No one naturally responds to it, meaning that they do not become Christians by this call alone. That's the general call, the outward call. It's outward. It doesn't go into the heart. But I need to balance this by adding that although they do not respond to the call of God, although they do not respond to the call of God unto salvation, they nevertheless, this is key, they can respond superficially, which is why you got all the wreckage that you got out here. Okay? People responding superficially. They can respond, but you better read a little closer about those four different soils. The percentage is not too great there. Read it very closely and you see how much is taking root. By such outward things as coming forward in a meeting, outward professions of faith, or maybe people even join a church. And not only can they, but many do. Religion is a narcotic. It makes you feel good about yourself. We're in a climate of spirituality. A little of this, a little of that, a little of this, that, and the other thing. Just basically ease my conscience a little bit. My conscience is screaming at me that I'm an enemy of God. Let me sit here for an hour or two, have somebody stroke me, and ease my conscience, and there's no change. Because the effectual call did not come. Because I'm telling you over and over again, the effectual call comes with power to change your life. Turn to 2 Peter 1:2. This is why this grace is here. This is what Peter's warning about. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. You see, make your calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, notice he's saying brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Not to get all introspective or walked away, look at every single thing. Look, has your life changed? Do you see all this difference? Do you see repentance in your life? Okay, it's not supposed to be this warped thing, every single thought, word, deed, and everything that, I'm checking. Peter's saying, you know, take a little step back, a second look in your life. You see this change in your life? You see this, and it better be a big change. Have you changed this? With everybody, it's different because some are still children in the faith and some are old men in the faith. But there's an effectual call. That's why people are saying, you know, I can't understand. That guy, you know, he came to me to that crusade and 25 years later, the dude's even worse than when he first went there. Because he heard a general call from man as opposed to the effectual call of God that comes with power and changes your life. This is the calling that's in our text. See? Those he foreknew, he predestinated, he also called, he also justified, and he also glorified. And sanctified is not even in there because that's just assumed. It's assumed. Because if you're called, it comes with a holy calling. If there's not holiness in the life, there's not the calling there. We must be sure we really have been called by God and are truly born again and have not merely been called by some preacher. Donald Gray Barnhouse has said, if men heed no more than the outward call, if you get them to heed nothing more than the outward call, they will become members of the visible church. They're becoming members of the visible church. The church down on the corner, the church across the street, the church here, the church there, the church the other. If a man heeds just the outward call, they become members of the visible church. If the inward call is heard in our hearts, we become members of the invisible church, the true church throughout the world. The first call, the general call, unites us merely to a group of confessing, but not possessing members. That's what the first call will do for you. If you haven't been internally called, if you've been externally called, you'll become a member of a visible church, you'll join, you'll be united with a group of professing but not possessing members. Even though there could be a couple professing amongst the possessing, possessing, professing, you get the point. But the inward call unites us to Christ Himself and to all that have been born again. Those that have been called are united to the invisible church. Those are in Christ, baptized into Christ. The outward call may bring with it a certain intellectual knowledge of the truth. The outward call. Mental assent. You give mental assent to some doctrines. Certain intellectual knowledge of the truth. The outward call can bring that. The inward call, though, brings us the faith of the heart. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. The love of God shed abroad. That's not a little trickle. Those that have been internally called, the love of God shed abroad. You're characterized by love. You're known by your love. They'll know you by your love for one another. Not, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this, that, and the other thing. They'll know you by your love for one another. The inward call brings us the faith of the heart, the hope which anchors us forever to Christ. That call. See? That's why my brother was, oh, these truths and hallelujah, let's sing these songs. See? The hope that anchors his soul forever to Christ. Those are signs of the inward call. And the love which must ever draw us back to him who first loved us. That's why there's no such thing as, oh, well, you know, I left the Lord 20 years ago. You never left the Lord 20 years ago. There's no such thing. You wasn't in the Lord. The one call, the general call, can end in formalism. You see dead churches all throughout the land. A formalism. You walk in, you walk back out. You put your 45 minutes in, 2 hours in, or something like that. My brother told me one church, 30 minutes, you're in, you're out the door, and we set up for the next church by 11, right? That was the deal there, right? And there's never no new members. You just wait till the last ones die out, and that's it for the church. Once you hit 90, 85, whatever, they drop dead, and that's it. It's formalism. The outward call also may curb the tendencies of the old nature. But for those people, it's not even old. It's still their nature. The outward call may curb the tendencies of your sinful behavior. Like, become a Jehovah's Witness tomorrow. You won't smoke, you won't drink, you won't do nothing else. But one thing you won't do either, you won't love. You put your time in on Saturday morning to earn your brownie points. And I know from first-hand experience, Monday night, that person don't give a damn about your soul. Because I ain't getting no credit for you. I ain't even going to let you know. I ain't even going to let you know who I am. The inward call will cure the plague that is in us and bring us on to a triumph in Christ. That's the inward call. That's why your life is supposed to be changed. Dramatically. Maybe not at first. There's a time of growth. But don't be deceived 15, 20, 25, 30 years and you the same person you was. You're right. You the same person you was. You absolutely right. Let us look at the importance of the general call. The general call is important. Don't throw the general call out the window. Because it's not effective, don't throw it out the window. Let us look at the importance of the general call. Everything said thus far has stressed the necessity of the specific internal call of the individual by God unto salvation. I stress that point. I have said no one naturally responds to God on the basis of the general call alone. But now I need to add that although that is true, that is definitely true, it is nevertheless also true that the general call is necessary. Why? It is true the general or the universal call that God calls specifically. That's why the general call is issued, because that's the very means that he uses to call those that he has called specifically, come unto me, ye that are laden, heavy burdened. That's why you come, because you have been specifically called. That's why you come. That's why the general call. That's why hyper-Calvinism is so damnable. The general call has to go out. You don't know who got the C on their back, who got the E, whatever letter you want to put on, Christian, elected, whatever. That's why you tell everybody. The general call goes out, and that's the call he uses to effectually call. The same general call left by itself produces nothing. The same general call that God speaks becomes effectual. This is why you keep putting the word out there. It is through the preaching of the word, by evangelists, by pastors, and through the telling of the good news by Christians all over the world. When you meet that person, tell them, come to Christ, whosoever will. Don't be afraid of those quote-unquote Arminian texts. Throw them out there. Whosoever will come. And if they come, they was elected. If they don't come, they wasn't elected. But that's the general call. The general call goes out. And the Lord uses that general call to bring forth new life. We are commanded by Christ in Matthew 28. Verses 19 and 20. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's why you need to tell everybody. People say, oh, that's going to do damage to evangelism. Not at all. Christ told you to go. He commanded you to go. So go. Going to the highways, the byways, to the person next to you on the job, to your spouse, to your sons, your daughters, your aunts, your uncles, your mothers, and your fathers. Go wherever the Lord has you. Proclaim the word. Put the general call out there. And those the Lord has it called, those that he has foreknown, he will bring them to new life. You see? That's why the general call is important. We sow the seed broadly. Some of it falls on stony or shallow soil, just as some of it also falls on good soil. But when the seed falls on the soil God has previously prepared, and when God, the giver of life, blesses the work of sowing, so that the seed takes root in the good soil and grows, the result then is a true spiritual harvest. People are saved, and they do pass into that great chain of saving acts that we've read, including foreknowledge, predestination, calling, justification, and glorification. Let me put it another way. If God calls effectively through the general call, it is as necessary that there be a general call if some are to be saved, as it is that there is a specific and an effectual call. It's just as important. And don't worry who's effectively called and who's general call. You're to throw the seed out there. God Almighty causes the growth. Our call does not regenerate. God alone is the author of the new birth. Our call just falls right to the ground, if that be the Lord's will. All must be born from where? Above. Nevertheless, the way God does that is through the sowing of the seed of his word. Nobody but God could invent this way of saving human beings. Nobody but God. If it was left to us, we would say this. Either way. If salvation was left to us, God has to do it so we can do nothing. That's hyper-Calvinism. God has to do it, we can do nothing. Hyper-Calvinism. Or, the flip side is this. We have to do it, God can do nothing. His hands there, you know, he got to be a gentleman. He can't, hands in the pocket, he's jammed up. He's waiting. He don't want to offend you. He's a gentleman. So you have it's one of the two extremes. God has to do it. We can do nothing. Hyper-Calvinism. We have to do it. God can do nothing. Arminianism. As opposed to God has to do it. And he's called us to work with him. To put the word out there. As it is, the work of effectively calling people to Christ is of God. Yet using human beings. Turn to Matthew 22. It's a blessing. He's brought you as a laborer into the field. Okay? God has to do it. Absolutely. And we are to be used in the Master's hand. Matthew 22. verse 14. That's what the verse means. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many years have probably struggled with that verse. That's why it means. That's what it means. Many are called. The general calling goes out. Just look at your job. How many people are saved there? Okay? Many are called. I know of about 150 people that have been called, but I know about two that have been chosen. So why is that? Because one is a general call and one is an effectual call. Question, am I elect? We're wrapping it up. Hold on, y'all. I know it's getting hot. Am I elect? There is this last qualification. How do you know whether or not you are elect? How do you know whether or not you are elect? Have you responded to the gospel? Have you answered God's call? How do we know that Abraham was elect? How do you know that Abraham was elect? It's because when God called him to leave Ur of the Chaldees, what did he do? He left Ur of the Chaldees. See? He responded to the call. I don't have time to go there now. We're wrapping up. Study Hebrews 11, verses 8 and 17. He obeyed. He persevered in that obedience to the end of his life. Okay? Not that he didn't stumble. You know Abraham's history. He did a few wicked things in there, but he persevered to the end. Same thing with Moses. Got the same exact thing. He persevered to the end. You want to know if you're called? Have you responded? How do we know about Paul? Though he was a murderer of God's people, what happened? His life was transformed. He saw his sin and he turned from it. You saw your sin and you're in the process of turning from it. He saw the righteousness of Christ and he believed on Christ. And then what did he do? He obeyed Christ and served Christ from that time on. You want to know if you're elect? That's how you know if you're elect. When he wrote Romans, he showed beyond any doubt that it was not he who chose God, but rather God who chose him and called him to be a Christian. How do you know if you are among the elect? The only way you will ever know if you are among the elect is if you respond to the gospel. You want to know if you're elect? Have you responded to the gospel? Not are you acting perfectly, because you will never act perfectly, but that's your heart's desire to obey His commands. It is your desire now. You see the commands of God, and with all your might, all your strength, sweating, breathing, bloodied, whatever it takes, yes, Lord, I want to obey. You want to know if you're elect? That's the disposition. And the closer you walk with the Lord, the more you grow in holiness, is the more you realize you're not obeying. The little child is thinking he's obeying. The little child in the faith. That's why Paul says what he says in Romans 7. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Then you can know that God has set his elect and love on you, and that having loved you, he will continue to love you and keep you to the end. You want to know if you're elect? Is it your desire to obey Him? None of us are obeying Him perfectly, but that's our desire. Are we called? Then let us heed the earnest entreaty of the apostle. What did the apostle say? Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. I'm begging you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Is that your desire? If that's your desire, you have the elect. To lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. And that calling is accompanied with power, with the dunamis. Let the lowliest and the highest vocation of life be dignified and sanctified by this heavenly call. It don't matter if you're president, king of a nation, or if you're a garbage man. It's a dignified calling and it's sanctified because it's a heavenly calling. Wherever you are and in whatever engaged, forget not your high calling of God. You're called to be saints, called to a separation from the world, called to a heavenly life, called to live for God, to labor for Christ, and soon we'll be called to be with that Christ forever. Lastly, in closing, C.H. Dodd has said, lest you think that this was of you. A man who is the object of grace, when he looks back upon himself, feels more and more that he has begun what he is by no act or activity of his own. The older you become in the faith, you should understand by no act or activity of his own that grace came to him without his own will or power. Grace came to you without your own will or power. That it took hold of him, drove you, led you on. Even his most intimate, his freest acts of decision and assent become to him, without losing their quality of freedom, something that he experienced rather than that you did. No matter what that you did, it was that you experienced it rather than you did it. You understand? No matter how much you think I made that free choice, you know, that sin that dogged me for 25 years, that all of a sudden I stopped doing it, it was only because of Christ. It wasn't I. You hear, brothers and sisters, I got the victory. The Lord gave you the victory. This is why verses 29 and 30 of our text, Romans 8, 29 and 30, why they cast in the past tense, as I brought out in previous teachings. Those he foreknew, he predestinated, he also called, he also justified, and he also glorified. And as I brought out to you numerous times, that's in the past tense.